to ask you to turn to the 17th chapter of John, if you would. I'd like to talk to you this morning about one mind, one gospel. There are many subjects, many things that bring men to a different opinion all around us in the world that we live in. We all come from one thing or another. We're all influenced in and by our own surroundings. Allow me to use my wife for an example. She comes from a family that was mostly Jehovah's Witness. And one of her biggest troubles, when the Lord first called me into the light of His precious love for His people, one of His biggest troubles with what I was hearing here in this church was that Jesus, God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit are one. Her trouble with that was in the bringing, was in her upbringing. There are many, many things in the world around us that men will argue about. Even things right here in this very building, among this very people that sit right here this morning. Maybe not argue in a heated, downright punch you out type of argument. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about disagreement. I don't agree with everything Pastor Gene believed. How do you like that?
I don't.
But it's true, Daryl.
Yeah, I know.
I appreciate your honesty and answer.
Yeah.
But it's true. And if you say that you believe in everything I get up here and talk about, every exact point, you need to ask yourself, is that really true? We're human.
Yes.
We all come from different backgrounds. We all come from different points. I was a truck driver. A truck driver who was raised as a Baptist. I come from a family that was destroyed by a father who was, let's just leave it at that. But God brought in another man, another preacher into my life. At that point, I was nothing more than a rebellious punk kid. You understand what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to tell you that we all come from something different. We don't always all agree on every little point. But God's people will agree on one point. Salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
There's nothing we can do to earn it. We don't make a decision that we're just going to, okay, you know what? I'm going to start being a little smarter today. I think it's probably better for me if I just, you know, pull my pants up, stop being that little turkey jerk person that I was. And now I'll just walk down the aisle and I'm going to accept Jesus in my heart. We know the Bible doesn't teach us that, don't we? No, the Bible teaches that salvation is of the Lord and of Him alone. It is not by our will, but His will that brings His people to Him. Some of us come from different backgrounds. Some come from this, some come from that. Some have an understanding of this, and others have an understanding of that. You see, it all started way back when all mankind, I know this is probably hard for you to picture, but there was a time when all mankind spoke the same language. And just as all mankind would do, they began to rebel against God and say, you know what, we're not going to wait for God. We're going to build a tower to Him. We're going to go to Him. We're not going to wait for Him to bring us to Himself. We're going to go to Him. It's going to be our works. And they built this tower, and the Lord looked down and said, no, I'm not going to have any of that. And so He caused. You notice that? He caused. He caused men to speak different languages. He caused men to be different. To start living different ways. Different rituals. He miraculously caused some to speak this way and others to speak that. And from that time on, men have argued about this. And they've argued about that. And men have had their differences. And they don't always see eye to eye. Sometimes these differences can cause quite an uproar. Opinions can get crossed. And passions get riled up. It's no different than today. Men still get riled up and argue. Well, this means this. This means it's got to be this here and this alone. No, it means that. And they'll get all riled up and argue about it. The Word of God is probably the most argued about book ever written. Men can find many things to say, what does that mean? And I'm sure you know as well as I, some men search for such things just so they can discuss, just so that they can argue, just so that they can show how intellectual that they are, and so on and so on. Look what I've learned. I've learned all about this thing here. Have you seen this? Let me tell you about it. No, it's not that way at all. It's this way. The earth was filled with water at one time. Well, how can that be? See how an argument could come up about that? How about this one? The sun stood still. It raised up into the sky and it didn't move. Well, how could that be? Can any of you explain that? How about this one? There was a bush on one time on the top of a mountain. And it burnt with fire coming out of it. And yet the bush was not consumed. How can you explain that? Here's another one. The parting of the Red Sea. How often have we looked at that and seen how the Bible describes the wall of water on each side of Israel. And how they walked on dry ground. Yet when the Egyptians came in and went after them, it turned to mud again. What in the world? How can you explain that? You see what I'm getting about the opinions of men here? How opinions of men can get to be this and get to be that? How about this one? Four men were in a fire. They were seen in the fire. A fire that was so hot, it was 7 times hotter than the normal fire. It was so hot that when these men who were setting the fire, who were to burn these four men, when they even got close to it, they were incinerated. They didn't even have to get into it. It was so hot it incinerated them. Yet four men were seen inside that fire, and when they came out, not even their clothes smelt of smoke. Well, how can that be, John? This is stuff that can't be. You see where I'm going with this? See where all this can go to? With people arguing about this and how this and how that. What about the virgin birth? How about this? God in the flesh. How can that be? How about the man who knew no sin but was made sin for his people? How about this? This is the hardest one for me. How is it that a man so full of sin How is it that this man who stands before you could be made righteous? Pick your poison, folks. Any one of these subjects have caused great contention at one time or another. And if you think that you're too smart to fall into that trap, then you are sadly mistaken. In Jeremiah 17:9, we read, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who could know it?" When men lose sight of that verse, when we start thinking that our heart is not desperately wicked, sin creeps in and contention takes over. Folks, this should not be with the brethren of God. Are you with me in John chapter 17?
Yes.
This should not be with those who are one with Christ. And for their sakes, our Lord says, this is the Lord's prayer. This is the true prayer. That other one that the world calls the Lord's prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven." That's how we should pray. The true Lord's prayer is when he got down and he prayed to the Father for his people. He said, I don't pray for the world. I pray for those that thou hast given me. The Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, prayed for you and I to the Father. And he says, "For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." Not some false gospel, not some made up man's religion that says man must do something for it. But the gospel of truth. One mind. One forgetful mind, okay? Just a little bit. I'm 60, I can... Oh, quit it, little sister. There's one mind. There's one gospel, and it's the truth. There's only two things in this world. There's truth and there's a lie. And what is not the truth is a lie, and what is a lie is not the truth. And the will of men is not the truth. It's the will of God about everything. Otherwise, your God is a false God. The only reason we call him God is because everything is by his will. He deserves. He has earned. He is God. He is sovereign, ruler over everything. The very first things that I heard sitting in this pew is about a God who does rule, who deserves to be called God. And I said, now that's a God that I could worship. That's a God. And the reason I said it was because he had already moved into my heart, just as he did with Lazarus. Lazarus heard the Lord Jesus say, "Lazarus, come forth." And he heard it because Christ had already moved into his heart and given him life to hear it. He was dead before, just as John was. That they also might be sanctified through the truth. Verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone. Not just for you and I. Not just for those that were walking the earth that very time. But for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Those that they were at that time would go out and preach the gospel. That was the Lord's word. Go out and preach the gospel to all the earth. Not go out and tell people, this is what you must do, this is how you must act, this is how you must be good to the poor, but go out and preach the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified for his people. I pray for these alone. I pray not for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, and that they may be one, even as we are one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three distinct persons, absolutely, but all one God. And our Lord is praying that we would be one as He is. One of mind. Obviously, I'm not one physically with Christ, but spiritually, all of God's people are. Oh, my spirit wants to be so much like my Savior. And I so want my flesh to be also, but it won't be. And if you think yours will, God help you. We'll have to fight this body of flesh until the Lord takes us home. To be one with the Father and one with the Son. He says in verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, Father, he prays on, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. Folks, we can see our Lord Jesus Christ right here in his word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. That's what this book is all about. It's about our Lord and Savior. It's about the one who is God in the flesh, who came here to this earth to be crucified by his own will. He laid down his life and he took it up again. Yes, he was slayed by crooked hands, wicked hands. But it was by the predetermining counsel of God that he came to this earth to do so. He had to. Otherwise, we'd still be in our sins. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee. How are you going to know about somebody unless that somebody is preached about? How are you going to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ if you don't know who He is? He's God. How are you going to call on the Lord Jesus Christ if you don't know what He did? He came to this earth to save His people. And He did.
Yes.
No empty seats. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. You are here this day hearing the word of God because He has brought you here. He's the one. You got your bulletins with you? He's the one who puts it in your heart. Look at this article at the top there from Luke 24:32. Did not our hearts burn within us? Oh, reader. These words pertain to all of God's elect. Does not your heart burn when Christ our Lord opens the Scriptures to you? Does it not bring joy to your heart to see Christ Jesus, the God-man in Scripture? Does not your heart burn with joy when you see in the Scripture the Lord's mercy expressed for His chosen blood-bought children? Does not your heart burn when you see in the Scriptures the peace God's people have in His sovereign, loving grace? I got to tell you, I said it in the Bible study this morning, that's the only peace I have in this day's world. There's so much craziness going on out there around us, folks. I'm sure I would be just an absolute insane lunatic nut if I'd have kept on the path that I was on before. But yet my Lord has shown me. He's shown me that all things work to the good for those who love Him, to those who are called by Him. Even the craziness that is out there in our world around us. Even those who killed all those thousands of people on 9/11 back in 2001. All those things are for our good. Don't know how yet, but there's coming a day when we will know all things. And we'll know exactly how that all worked out for our good. And we'll sing that word that we sing right now, to God be the glory. The hearts of those two men on the road to Emmaus burned within them when Christ the Lord expounded, explained, brought out in the Scriptures all the things concerning Himself. Oh, how I pray that the Lord Jesus would give you a heart that burns with joy spending time in the Holy Word of God. Oh, righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee, verse 25 again, but I have known Thee, that these have known that Thou hast sent Me. And I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved Me may be in them, and I in them. One mind. One gospel. There's all kinds of stuff in this world that we could discuss. And I'm not saying not to. Don't take that wrong, what I said a little bit ago about we should avoid those with all utterance. There's a way to discuss differences and a way not to. Bill and I have been talking for 20 years now about the Lord. We used to spend every day before the Lord took His tongue. Every day I'd call Him for 15, 20 minutes, and we talked about all kinds of things. Some things that I would not discuss with anyone else. Not even my own wife. Not because I'm trying to hide anything from you, sweetie. Just. But they might cause contention. She came from a different background. Paul sat down and ate meat with the Greeks so that he wouldn't offend them. You'll recall, Peter got up and walked out on it and went back to be with the Jews. And he and Paul and Peter got into it over that. Paul called him out on it. He says, wait a minute, you're saying that you're okay with this and that you're not supposed to be of works, but then all of a sudden you get up and show how your works lead you not to eat meat with these people anymore? Turn over to Philippians, if you would. Philippians chapter 2. If we belong to Christ, if we are the elect, if we are the chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, and that's what Scripture says, if our names were written in the book of life before a star ever twinkled in the sky, if the blood of the Son of the living God was shed for us, then should we not be of one mind? What can we be of one mind on? That's my whole point for today's message. What can bring you and I together right here, right now, and bring us to one mind? Is there something that we can all agree on without contention? Are you with me in Philippians chapter 2? If there be any consolation in Christ. Is there something we can be without contention on? If there be any consolation any comfort in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. When Paul spoke of the other disciples, the other apostles, this is a man who God used to write 8 books of Holy Scriptures, to start church after church after church, true gospel churches. A man obviously God was with, and yet he thought of himself lowlier than anyone else. Do you get the picture of what it's saying here? Donna, you are so much more worthy than me in anything. And those aren't just words. I don't see your sin, but I see mine. And when I see my sin, there's nobody here, nobody who can compare. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Yes. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He wasn't calmly looking at all. This pretty picture that people put up of a long-haired guy they think is Jesus, that's not Jesus. Scripture describes him as one who nobody wants to even look upon. He took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. God became flesh. And being found in a fashion, verse 8, as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things of earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Many things can be and will be curious and tickle our imaginations. We can't help it. We're human. How can that be? How could the sun stand still? It's a miracle. It's a miracle. How could I be born again? It's a miracle. I can't go into my mother's womb. And I can't decide to be born again myself. I didn't have any decision in the first one. Only foolishness would think that I'd have anything to do with the second one. It was a miracle. What about this? What about that? But folks, we are of one mind. We are of the mind of Christ. In Hebrews 10:9 it says, Then said he, the Lord Jesus Christ, I come to do thy will, O God. That's our mind. Lord, help me to do thy will, not mine. That's what my spirit wants. Lord, help me to do what you would have me to do. Don't let me wander off like you did Jonah. I know that was needful, and Jonah needed to do that, and it was purposeful. He had to do it so that he could learn in death through the whale, salvation is of the Lord. But what a painful lesson that had to be. And I don't like pain. Lord, don't lead me to myself. Show me what your will would be and allow me to walk that way. We're not perfect as he is. But is it not our desire? Is not our desire along the same line? I come to do thy will, O God. We say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As in heaven, so in earth. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Now, I cannot explain how God, the man, created all that is. But I know he did. I believe. I cannot explain how God, the man, cleansed me from all my sin, yet I believe. I cannot explain how God, the man, is sitting right now, a risen Savior, risen from the dead, sitting on his throne, making all things for my good, yet I believe. I cannot explain all the details of just how Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father, yet I believe. Turn back a couple of pages, if you would, to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, look at verses 4 through 7 with me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. That ye may be with one mind and one mouth. Let me read that again. That ye may with one mind and one mouth do what? Read aloud with me, folks. Glorify God. That's the rule of life for a believer. Glory in the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glorify Him. He will not share His glory with another. Walking down the aisle and saying, I accept Christ, is taking glory away from God, because God says, it's not your will, it's mine that brings you to me. Yes. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Folks, the gospel is simple. Brother Darrell mentioned it a moment ago in his prayer. Lord, that even I can understand it. Me too, Darrell. I've never graduated high school, let alone gone to college. I'm not a learned man. I need simple things. Simple is easy to understand. You want to go making stuff all complicated and trying to make it this and make it that. Well, go do that, but just don't bother me with it. I like the end results. I'm not quite sure how it all got there, but this is how it got there. Salvation is of the Lord. And He saved me. And this flesh that I have will someday be put off, and I will stand with Him for eternity in glory.
Praise the Lord.
A child can understand that. A simple-minded person can hear the gospel and understand it. One of my other fellow workers joined us one day for the conference. And he has a special needs son. And from what I heard, that special needs boy knows the Lord. My wife has a sister who has a special needs boy. And from what I've heard from confession from that boy, he knows the Lord. I've heard him say, oh, he's the Lord of everything. And he does. And he points it out. He's the Lord of this. He's the Lord of that. He's not just the Lord of this. He's the Lord of it all. Yeah, the Holy Spirit must reveal such truths to those who know it. But God uses the gospel, the foolishness of preaching, to call people to Himself. Turn a few more pages back to Romans 12, if you would. Here's the simplicity of the gospel. The simplicity of the good news. Christ came to save sinners. He shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people. All that the Father giveth Him shall come to Him. Salvation is of the Lord.
Yes.
And here's my favorite part of it. I shall never leave you, He says, nor forsake you. That's hard to believe at times. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. These are simple words of good news to one who is a sinner. If the grace of God has come to a poor, lost, broke, depraved sinner, if God has shown one as to what they justly deserve in the carnal flesh, then do you not see the wonder of His grace? That's what we come here to do. To praise Him and thank Him for His grace and His mercy upon us. We see ourselves for what we deserve. We see the One who took what we deserve on the cross. Who by His own blood, the power of God, was shed to pay for all of our sins. We see that. And that's what we're here to do, is to praise and worship the One who loved us from before the world began. The awe of His mercy. When one has had these truths revealed to their heart, then the words here in verse 16 of Romans 12 should ring out to our souls. Be of the same mind, one toward another. If you know you're a sinner, and you know you're saved by the grace of God, should we not treat anyone else the same way? My wife is a sinner, and I know that. And because I love her, I do the best I can to take care of her and treat her the best I can. And she looks at me the same way. I am nothing more than a sinner. And sometimes we don't get along. She's Italian-Irish. That's the reason why. Oh, I'm sorry. No, this is the reason why. This is the reason why. But she looks at me knowing that I'm a sinner. And she sees herself as the same. And so she can say, I forgive you. And she has to say that a lot. I forgive you because my Lord forgave me. Should we not say that to our brothers and sisters in Christ? This is how people know us. This is how people know God's children. How do I know that that man is God's child? Because He forgave that man for what he did. Because he believes the Lord Jesus Christ is his Savior and has forgiven him for all of his sins. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. And here's what I want to close with this morning. This will cause contrition between brothers and sisters, even brothers and sisters in Christ. When you start thinking more highly of yourself than what you are. I've been studying the Word of God for 45 years, and I've heard that. I've been to seminary. I know this and I know that. What does John know? What could you know more than me? I know more about this than you do, John. I've had people tell me that I'm not fit to be in this position as your pastor, even though you're the ones who decided that I should be here. And here's why I'm not fit, because I've never read through the entire book of God from cover to cover. This is what was said. Why, John, I've read through 5 times. And here's what I responded to him. I said, well, then I guess I'm not fit to be your pastor. But I know what the Lord has done for me. Just as you know what the Lord has done for you. You see, you can share that with anybody just as I can, huh? Be not wise in your own conceits. Don't let proud notions of yourself be puffed up to where you stand before another and say, you're not, because you don't. Our great Lord speaks through the Apostle Paul here in chapter 12, giving instructions on godly living. And I highly recommend that you spend some private time reading and praying for understanding in your walk before God. But for our subject this day, we seek to be like-minded, not wise in our own conceits. Our Lord says in Isaiah 55:8, He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. In another section of Scripture, great is the mystery of godliness. His ways are beyond our ways of understanding. Just the other day, I had a man who's been preaching for many years turn to me and say, you know, John, you can go along for a long time and then all of a sudden the Lord will reveal to you something else. It's always been there in Scripture. You'll read it over 1,000 times, but all of a sudden, boom, a light will come on and you'll know what it means. You weren't ready to know what that means yet. The Lord's got a whole lot to reveal to me still, doesn't He? That's okay. But even a child of God can understand love. For God so loved the world. For God so loved those that have belonged to Him throughout all the world, from the beginning of time till the last day before He comes. For God so loved all of them that He gave His only begotten Son. And here's the key to that verse. The world wants to use the very thing, for God so loved the world, and they say that's the key. No, that's not the key. The key is this. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever should believeth. Whosoever should have faith. Let's close with Ephesians chapter 2. This is a good verse to close with because it reminds us of something that we need to be reminded all the time. It's not of ourselves. It's not of your works. It's not of what John does. It's not of what Kathy does.